Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. On this opening full day of baseball 2017, we're coming to the plate with Brockmeyer, IFC Zoo Comedy of a top baseball broadcaster on the comeback trail. Great executive producer Joel Stretch Cooper joins me next. Also ahead, Peabody Progress, Stringer strikes scripted, June has busted out a new TV festival here in the Big Apple, and our classic trivia question of the week, 30 Rock on DVD, The Prize. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy to have you aboard on this third day of April 2017. Beautiful day here at the Big Apple, 63 degrees at the top of the hour, and you're more than welcome to be with us for the program All About Television. Wonderful guests coming your way from L.A. over the next half hour or so, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. Get up to bat with us. How do you do it? You raise your voice, and you use this phone number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. Another way you participate is our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and get 757 is already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others, have them be listening with you, by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon in Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And Joel Church Cooper from Brockmeyer will be joining us live from L.A. after a first round of news notes. Just breaking through in the last half hour, Falling Water will continue into a second season on USA Network. New episodes are anticipated this fall. And also in the last hour, TV Land has confirmed that Younger, starring Sutton Foster, will stay put there. The next set of first run episodes will start in June. The Peabody Awards will unveil their class of 2017 finalists Wednesday morning. Then whittle that group of 70 projects to 30 winners, the first group of those announced next Wednesday. Separately, PBS and Fusion will take over, for now, the terminated channel Pivot as carriers of a tape-delayed primetime special running on June 2nd on both networks. Fusion also will offer a half-hour red carpet special before their presentation. The awards will be presented here in New York at Cipriani's Wall Street May 20th with Rashida Jones and Andrew Tribeca as the host. Her series, by the way, begins its third season next Monday night on TBS. And former CBS and Sony USA overseer Howard Strainer is launching Atrium Television, a venture-developing drama series for worldwide play via streaming services, smart TVs, and smart TV-making devices. One organization per region will be selected to play these series that Atrium develops or commissions. Former NBC Movies and Miniseries executive Quinn Taylor will be a consultant to Atrium, no word yet on their initial projects. That announcement was made earlier today at the annual Miss TV Festival in Cannes, France. And there probably will be a lot more announcements of that nature before that festival wraps up later this week. We'll have more news notes after the bottom of the hour. But right now, joining us live from Los Angeles, the creator and executive producer of Brockmeyer, beginning Wednesday night 10 on IFC, Joel Church Cooper. Joel, pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Did this series come out of a lifelong love of baseball for you?
Yeah, you know, I think in its own way, there's a you can feel the love of baseball from me and Hank in the show, and lifelong San Francisco Giants fan, played Little League as a kid, and always sort of loved baseball in its anachronisms and its weirdness, and its connection to American history, which I also, you know a lot about. So when the character already existed, Hank had it. And when it was brought to me to sort of do something with, it was just a natural thing for both of us to work together.
Mm-hmm. Baseball television shows have not had a great track record on the tube over the years. In the comedy arena, we've had such programs as Jim Bouton's Ball 4, which adapted with Bouton as the star, which only ran 4 weeks on CBS. There was the Bad News Bears on ABC that ran about a year. On the dramatic side, Bay City Blues, with Stephen Bosco, who was one of his favorite TV series, was canceled after half a season on NBC. But a lot of critics who've seen your show, Joel, believe that you have a fighting chance because rather than focus on the baseball players or the front office, you're talking about the people that bring us day-to-day the games, namely the announcers.
Yeah, you know, I think one, two points, two answers to this question. One, I think all of those shows, you know, sort of existed in the traditional broadcast model, and things have really changed since then. You know, we're doing 8 episodes on IFC. The expectations are much different in terms of how many stories you can tell and what you want to do. But I also think there's something to the fact that we're not focusing on the team, you know, which allows us to do new stories that, you know, maybe people haven't seen before. And it gives us a sort of a chance to just stand out in this crowded TV marketplace.
And, of course, the character is played by Hank Azaria, who is marvelous, whether he's on The Simpsons, off-camera, with his voice, or you see him all over the place in all sorts of shows. And I had a chance to meet Hank a year ago when IFC did a full preview special here in New York at the Upland Restaurant in Manhattan. And you got the sense, talking to him, that he has a profound love for not just his character, but for the great baseball announcers, the Mel Allens, the Vin Scullys who retired last year, the Ernie Hardwells, the people that were able at that radio or television microphone to keep you at your seat or in front of your television set or in front of your radio, because they were able to blend the actual action on the field by weaving stories about the players, stories about what was going on, you know, that day. And it seems that in your series, you're able to really capture that in a magnifying glass.
Yeah, I mean, I think I also, you know, have an affection for those types of, you know, classic American characters. You know, it used to be every team had their one guy. You know, when I was growing up, it was a guy named Hank Greenwald for the San Francisco Giants. Now it's John Miller for the San Francisco Giants. You know, every sort of city has their guy. The Vin Scully just retired. And I think what it is to me is, you know, as a fan of baseball, I do think the best medium for baseball is radio. You know, it's because nothing happens on television, it can get a little boring. But on radio, someone kind of a charismatic character taking you through a game, having fun with themselves, you know, and the game, it makes it, you know, like you're hanging out with a friend. And that's what we wanted to have, as a guy like that, only who wouldn't just, you know, be smiles and sunshine, but also who could draw you in with his own nihilism and his own pain, you know, while still calling a game. I just thought that was such a great, you know, idea for a character.
Now, this character started out as a Funny or Die short that ran on the web, and I'm sure in some places on smart TV sets or smart devices. How long did it take to create the video, and then how long did it take to jump from how successful the video was to going on IFC as a series?
Well, the video, I worked as Funny or Die after they had already made that, and I think the video took a long time. You know, I think the video took something like, I don't know, 6 months to a year from pitch to completion. I know a lot of different people worked on it. They sort of did, they shot a bunch of material. You know, it was almost like a pilot presentation in a way, where they just wanted to try a bunch of different stuff for low money. And then they kind of came up with this video that did very well online, and they kind of found a voice and a story behind it. And then I came in, so that probably took a year. Then I came in and I started doing personal appearances. While at Funny or Die, I would write stuff for Brockmire that he could do on the NFL Network, that he could do on TBS or lots of different places. And then once we did that, we sort of were like, there's something here. There's something about me and Hank's collaboration. So we wrote a movie that got pretty close to getting made. They were down in pre-production, the cast, the crew, and the financing fell out. So this is a very long story. So then that fell out. Then a year after that, we decided to sell it. So all in, from start of the video to this now being released, I'd say it's been about 5 years.
And I understand that the show was shot, all 8 episodes were shot in a very concentrated period of time, 22 days down in Atlanta or so.
Yeah, 22 days in Atlanta, and if you do the math on that, that's less than 3 days an episode, which, if anyone who knows television, is impossible. We black shot all 8 episodes at once, and, you know, we got very lucky with some of the weather and just how great our actors were, that they could do 14 pages in a day. You know, normal TV shows do, and TV works much faster than movies, normal TV shows do maybe 6 or 7. Sometimes we were doing, you know, almost 2.5 times that many on a regular basis. So it was intense. You know, people, when I was doing it, were like, oh, my God, it's your dream show. How's it going? You're having so much fun? And I was like, no, I'm literally scared every day that we're gonna not gonna make our day because we don't even have money for overtime. That's how low budget the show was. But you know, we came out on the other side with something that we knew was good, and you know, it's credit to the cast and our director Tim Kirkby.
Mm-hmm. Brock Myers, IFC's newest original scripted comedy, and it premieres this Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. I believe it's the first IFC comedy, by the way, or first IFC original series that's premiering on a midweek night, Tuesday or Wednesday. We've got the creator and executive producer with us, Joel Church Cooper. He's live from Los Angeles at this hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Simon Applebaum, who we do live from New York. Glad to join us wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, don't be shy. Get up to the plate. Swing. You never know. Write in here 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You have 757 in the room. Remember, we're with you Mondays and Fridays at this very hour here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't have a word yet on our guests coming up for Friday, but we'll let you know ASAP either on Facebook or on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. And if you missed our episodes last week, which included people like Danielle Monáe Truitt, the new star of BET's Rebel, Michael McDonald, the executive producer of ABC's Acclaimed American Crime, or in our episode last Friday, we had the author of the book that promoted the Kennedys after Camelot, which, by the way, also premiered, I believe, last night, and that's J. Randy Tarabarelli, Elizabeth Stanton from the Daytime Emmy-nominated series This Just In on Pop, and executive producer from the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why, Joy Gorman-Webb. If you missed that episode from last Friday, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or check out the podcast version on iTunes and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. And incidentally, if you go to Apple TV, you now have an opportunity to see the first episode of Brock Myers called Rally Cap between now and the premiere on IFC on Wednesday night. Let's talk about the character of Jim Brockmeyer. He is probably one of the best in his game, and he also finds out while he's broadcasting a game that they'll report broadcast the game that his wife has committed adultery, and take up the story from there.
Well, the premiere really starts about the eighth inning of that game that he has gotten pretty drunk. We see him, you know, pull about half a bottle of rye into his mouth. And he describes in detail during a game while also calling the count what he saw from his wife, you know, cheating on him with their neighbor in an orgy. And he describes graphic details about all the sexual acts that she does. And, of course, that becomes the thing that gets him kicked off of television and radio, and he's disgraced. So then we cut ahead 10 years, and he's trying to make a comeback in baseball as a minor league baseball announcer, the lowest of the low, you know, independent single A, which is about, you know, one step up from little league. And he finds out when he gets there, two things. That one, he's not even calling radio games. He's calling games at the stadium like a PA announcer. And two, that in the interim 10 years since he's been gone, his video was the original viral video. He's our version of the Grape Stomp Lady or the Winnebago Man. He's the one that, you know, is a legendary internet figure. And so he thought he could come back and escape his past, and he finds out that, you know, he can never escape his past. And so that's where we sort of leave him in the pilot, deciding, you know, to stay and see if he can, you know, call baseball again and see if he can work his way up from this, you know, low rung.
And he has to, Joe, work his way up from, like, classic Ralph Bugtown. He's got a bunch of characters surrounding him, including Amanda Peet, who plays as someone who is equally as strong and hard-driving as he is.
Yeah, you know, I really wanted to write a really fun romantic comedy love story in a very sort of dark way. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Thin Man movies, the old 30s movies with William Powell and Myrna Loy, but I love two, you know, a man and a woman drinking together and quipping together and, you know, doing something together. But instead of solving mysteries, like in Thin Man, they're running a baseball team together in this show. But I described Morristown as the worst town in America. You know, it's basically all of American excess, you know, is ruined this town. Through fracking and through manufacturing jobs going away and through the townspeople's own greed and stupidity. And so it's just this place where it couldn't get any lower where we meet them. And Amanda Peet's dream is to sort of save her town through baseball.
So in the series, various characters not only have to try to rebuild his professional life, he's also rebuilding his personal life because, of course, he's divorced. So what kind of situations does he get into both on and off the diamond?
Well, I'd say, you know, he's an alcoholic and a drug addict, and that's central to his character, and he's in a lot of pain. So, you know, sort of, you know, that is why I think the show works on a comedic and somewhat dramatic level, is that, you know, his pain is really what's driving him forward. And then once he gets a little healthier, it's his ego, you know, it's his flaws. So, you know, in episode 4, his ex-wife Lucy comes back, and, you know, that causes him to spiral out with anger again, that he can't process it. So because he's calling games to the stadium, he ends up inadvertently causing a beanball war between two teams. Like, his anger is leaking out onto the field. And, you know, so there's that. And then, and eventually the video from that goes viral again. And so in 105, he becomes famous again for another meltdown. And he has to decide whether he should run away from that fame or embrace it and try to, you know, use what he wants. And gradually over the season, it's about deepening his relationship with Jules, sort of getting his life on track and being comfortable back in the American public eye, and seeing if the broadcaster community, which kind of shunned him, will embrace him again.
Go back to the first meltdown scene, because you have this scene where he is in the booth, he's drunk, he's able though to still call the game and like mix and match the scene on the diamond he's seeing with the scene, the pain he is, you know, bringing to the public. As he's saying, as he says at the beginning of that scene, you know, I always tell you the truth about where I'm at. And then you also intercut the scenes of people listening to what he's saying or watching what he's saying, that the kids at the picnic table in front of the, like, moving up to the TV set, or, you know, somebody sitting on the banana peel going, what the, how long did it take, first of all, to do that scene, to put that scene together? I'm curious if I did that in one take, where he's at the booth.
No, he did multiple takes, and we did more of a dramatic take, we did more of a comedic take, and then we sort of cut them together in that way. But, you know, in terms of all the cutaways, we definitely spent more time on that sequence than any other in the series, and I think it's worth it, and it shows, because, you know, it's crucial to get you hooked in that first 3 minutes. And like I said, this was originally a screenplay, and so all that exposition of, you know, him finding his wife and setting up how big of a hero he was in the city, like, that was, you know, 18 pages, and we had to condense that down, including the rant. We had to condense that down to, you know, 4. And so how do we do that? And the cutaways were my way to do that, of like showing that he's a legend in this town and that his words are tearing down his legacy immediately. And the great thing about Hank is he's as skilled as a dramatic actor as he is a comedic actor. So there's nothing you can write for him that he can't do. You know, there's no joke that he can't, you know, find his way from a dramatic moment. And what I think really works about that opening 3 minutes and his breakdown is it's very real. You really, you really do feel like this character is coming apart at the seams. And, you know, the first thing I learned when I started doing improv comedy is commitment is the key to comedy. You know, you play it as real as you can. And if the situation is inherently funny, then the jokes will come. But, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of humor doesn't really work for me, at least. You know, the harder you commit, you know, the funnier it is. And that's why, you know, Hank is one of the best comedic actors, is because he's also one of the best dramatic actors.
As you were writing the script and your director was putting his finger, Tim Kirkby, did you hear from baseball announcers or from announcers of other sports saying, you know, this reminds me of my, you know, how I got up to the top or how I progressed and hear the slugs I made? Did any of them contact you or contact Tim about, you know, here's an incident, you might want to use it as part of your script? And did they make any contribution whatsoever?
No one's really sort of given me inside info about things, but I will say there's a connection between all sports broadcasters. Anybody who gets in front of a mic and talks about sports, they have a connection and a love for Brockmeyer, even just from the Funny or Die short, because I feel like there's something intrinsic to anyone who talks live into a microphone, and maybe you have the same fear because you do the same thing, of what if I just freak out, you know? What are the consequences of being at a game, you know, and just in that moment saying something incredibly bad, and what would happen to my career? And all broadcasters sort of feel that way, you know? And it's one of the reasons why those, you know, Brockmire's kind of an old school character. Those old school broadcasters would drink in the booth. You know, they would, you know, Harry Carey was legendary for having four or five beers and then not being able to say the, you know, Mark Rudzulonik's last name. But, you know, no one does that anymore because of this YouTube age, because of Twitter. You know, they don't want to be the person that that goes off like that. So there's a connection, I think, there based on their own fears.
Brockmire is IFC's new comedy starring Hank Azaria and Amanda Peet, and it begins Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time on that network, available on cable and satellite all over the place. We're speaking with Joel Church Cooper. He is the creator and executive producer of the series. He's live from Los Angeles with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, who is live from New York, live to your board on this third day of April 2017 for the program All About the Tube. And if you have a question or a comment for Joel, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Remember, you can catch up on previous episodes on our podcast. It's at iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. And coming up after the bottom of the hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win Season 3 DVDs of 30 Rock with Tina Fey, Alec Baldwin, and the rest of the crew. So stay tuned after the bottom of the hour. We'll also have more news as well. This was a very busy day, by the way, in terms of TV news, in part because of the opening of NIPP, the International Probing Fair that takes place every spring at Cannes, France. So more news is coming up also after the bottom of the hour. Where did you produce the program in Atlanta? How did you find a stadium or something that would simulate a Rust Belt town?
You know, Atlanta is getting a lot of different productions because of the 30% rebate, but also because there's a crew base down there now, and there is a variety of locations. Now, our problem was we were committed to Atlanta. We went down there, and then we realized there's not a stadium that we need. We needed a very specific look, a very old kind of stadium. It's falling apart. And a lot of, you know, we did shoot the fake professional Kansas City stadium. It's actually a AAA stadium in near Atlanta that we shot. So the good stadium we shot there, but for the bad Morristown stadium, we could not find it. And it was really threatening production. And we eventually located it in Macon, Georgia. It's called Luther Williams Field. It's the second oldest minor league ballpark in America. And we really almost didn't touch it. We kept the art direction as is, the cobwebs, the grass weeds growing through the seats. That was as we found it, and it was just perfect. It was, you know, in a production of our size, on the schedule we were working, you know, you don't really have a lot of time to dress sets. You just have to find the right locations, and that place was worth, you know, and it was a godsend. But it was expensive, and we had to shoot down there for 2 weeks, and we had to take the whole crew there. It had to be worth it, and it was worth it. For the town itself of Morristown, we shot in a small town called Lithonia, Georgia, which really doubled. I thought, well, you know, I had spent some time in Western Pennsylvania to sort of get the look of it and sort of get the feel of it. I didn't want to, you know, write about an area that I'd never been to before. And so I had some sense of what it needs to look like. And I thought we were able to double it pretty well in Georgia.
Yeah. Did any of the Atlanta Braves players or any of their announcing team show up?
No, because we shot during the season. So, you know, if there is a season two, everyone please listening live, knock on wood, we're going to shoot after the baseball season's over so we can kind of get more of those cameos. You know, baseball's 162 games in like 180 days. So if there is an off day, you're not going to like fly in to shoot a bit part. You know, we got very lucky that we got as many baseball broadcasters as we did, including Joe Buck, who appears in episode 107 and is fantastic.
Is this your first time doing a television series? And if so, Joel, what have you learned about the process and about not just writing a series, but also with Hank and with other people, you know, being in control of what you do?
You know, this is my first TV show. I've been working in TV now for about 5 years, multicam, single cam comedies, but as a lower level writer, and this is my first show as a sort of executive producer, showrunner. And, you know, I was lucky to learn from some good ones. You know, I worked under Linda Wallum. I worked under Bill Lawrence. And I saw, you know, I picked up a few tricks. But the key is, what I learned just working on TV is, you know, the scripts have to be at a certain level. And you have to make sure they are before you start. And we block shot all 8 at once. So we shot like a movie where there wasn't really an opportunity to change scripts on set that much. So we had to go in locked and loaded. And once you do that and you're not writing, you know, to the actor's strengths, you have to, you know, the scripts exist in whatever form they exist. The key at that point is casting. And that's where I feel like, you know, everyone was on board. We had a director, we had the star, you know, we had the scripts. But the reason I think it's successful is because we got Amanda Peet and we got Tyrell Jackson Williams as the other two leads. And then even in the smaller parts, we're able to find people. And to me, that's my biggest takeaway. I knew casting was important, but I didn't realize how it can elevate something above average or good to be greater transcendent just with the right actor.
Brockmire, a new series about a baseball announcer trying to make the comeback, maybe the ultimate comeback. It will be premiering Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on IFC, the always-on, slightly off-channel from AMC Networks. And if you don't want to wait to see the first episode, you don't have to, because you can also see that episode right now if you have a smart TV set or you have Roku or Apple TV. So check it out. It's also running, by the way, on video on demand, on IFC on demand, available also on cable and satellite systems coast to coast. Check out those listings where IFC is available in your area on cable and satellite for the actual premiere Wednesday night. And for more details online, here's where you go, www.ifc.com. That's www.ifc.com. Joel George Cooper, creator executive producer of Brockmire, thank you for joining. Congratulations. I've seen the first episode. I have no doubt it's going to be a winner, and hopefully many great seasons to come, and maybe some Emmy nominations for Hank Azaria and you and your crew later on this year.
Well, that would be great. We're a small show. I'm excited about the critical response. It's been great so far. I would say anyone who's listening, you know, the pilot's great, but they just get better from there. And, you know, what's great about the show is I made sure, you know, we're a comedy that tries to be funny. You know, we're a comedy that tries to make you laugh out loud, you know, five or six times an episode, while at the same time finding some humanity and drama and some real life moments in there as well. So if that sounds interesting to anybody, just check it out.
And that's Comedy Express. Joe, it's been a pleasure to have you with us. All the greatest. Take care.
All right. Thanks so much.
Joe Church Cooper, executive producer and creator of Brockmire, Wednesday night, the premiere on IFC, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow's television is coming your way, but first, some fine words from our terrific sponsor, and that is Audible.com. You any Will Wheaton fans out there? You know, Will Wheaton, of course, from Stand By Me in the movies and Star Trek The Next Generation, and he also did a series on sci-fi about a year or two ago. Well, now he's back in the world of audiobooks, and he's now writing a wonderful audio title called The Collapsing Empire. It's one of the newest titles you can find at Audible.com, and it may be, just maybe, be a title that can transform the way you hear the world. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information, all digitally delivered to you, with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to any of them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So remember, if you give Audible.com a trial, a one-month trial, you get one free audiobook. And all you got to do is go to this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Think of it. One free audiobook of your choice, 180,000 titles to choose from, 1 month trial, and great customer service because Audible is an Amazon.com company. So you know the customer service is going to be absolutely incredible. So remember, if you want an experience that transforms the way you hear the world, not just for 1 month, maybe forever, check out audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. Once again, that's audible.com, an Amazon company. When we come back, we will have more news notes and our Clap and Trivia question of the week. If you know the answer, a big DVD set of season 3 of 30 Rock can be yours. We'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Rappy Hour. Catch Jordan Parhar and his wonderful thoughts about where reality TV is at, real and unreal. The Rappy Hour every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can catch the best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Catch our program and other BTR faves on iTunes as podcast and at Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. That's Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go online and order it, or go to an Apple store near you. Welcome back tomorrow to Televised for this first Monday of April 2017, April 3rd to be exact. Gorgeous day here in the New York area, 63 degrees at the the top of the hour. The lines are aboard. Simon Appleton with you live from New Web, New York. And we have a little more of our show to do, including some news notes. And coming up also, our classic trivia question of the week. So stay tuned. And by the way, if you'd like to react to what we've done so far today, get some thoughts about the world of television in, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe on Blog Talk Radio. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name, get 757, get 809 are in the room. Our country question of the week is coming up after some more news notes. Get ready for another festival with TV front and center this year. IFC Center will preside over the first ever split screens festival from June 2nd through the 8th here in New York. You can anticipate a mix of new series, screenings, panels, pilots, and next generation new talent showcases. Further details will be unveiled later this month, and we'll keep you posted on all of that. Daily Mail Television, the syndicated daily half hour based on the popular British-based news source, is a go to debut this fall. More than 100 stations, including many owned by Sinclair, Tribune Media, and Great Television, are set to play the series. Dr. Phil, as in, yes, Dr. Phil McGraw, and son Jay will be executive producers, along with Dr. Phil executive producer Carl Pennington and Daily Mail CEO Martin Clark. CBS Television Distribution is syndicating the series in various time periods. And remember Better Life Beckham, the 2002 movie? Wow, hard to believe 15 years ago since that movie came out, about a women's soccer team featuring then-newcomers Parminder Negra and Keira Knightley. Well, almost 15 years later, director, writer, and producer Gurmit Chadha is taking a TV career turn. She's formed, I'm saying it correctly, Bended TV and Freemail Media, the folks behind The Price is Right, Beverly Feud, and other shows, and the upcoming stars drama American Gods will invest in Chandra's company. The first priority, scripted dramas. Second priority, unscripted. And that's news notes for today. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win the full DVD set of Season 3 of the Emmy-winning 30 Rock with Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin, Tracy Morgan, and Jake Kapsas on Match Games revival last night, and many, many more. And here's the question that if you're first with the correct answer on, you can win that set. Here it is. What Oscar-winning actress played housekeeper on a TV series version of The Courtship of Eddie's Father? That version ran 3 seasons on ABC, was nominated for several Emmy Awards. Bill Bixby played Eddie's father in that series. Member young Brandon Cruz played Eddie. And this woman, who won the Oscar back in the 1950s, was playing the housekeeper. And she was nominated, by the way, for one, possibly two Emmy nominations. But we want to know the full name of that person. And if you're first with that correct answer, you can win the 30 Rock Season 3 DVD set. How do you get involved? You email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you are emailing from. First with the correct answer, you win that Season 3 30 Rock DVD set with Season 3 in its entirety. And if you just missed the question, no problem. I will post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. So remember, in order to win, you got to be in to play. And tell your friends to play too. Who knows? They might win as well. So make it happen, and all the very best. And finally, before we wrap things up, one quick follow-up on that news note about the new festival. It's really been a breakout year in terms of new television festivals springing up all over the country. I'm talking really getting to last year. We had the Norfolk Festival in Long Island that started last year. We had the expected ITV Fest up in New England. This week, as a matter of fact, the New York Television Festival, coming next October, will be launching a similar festival, 2 days' worth, in Chicago. And, of course, now we have the IFC Split Screen. And that's also, remember, we've got the Tribeca Film Festival with their expanded TV agenda for the second consecutive year. That will be taking place in late April. I believe it begins on April 19th and goes to April 26th. So we'll keep you posted on all the TV festival stuff going on. And congratulations to IFC, that's IFC Films, and their IFC Center here in New York, which is on Waverly, on 6th Avenue near Waverly Place, for making that happen. We will try to get, by the way, the people involved in that festival on our show in the next couple of weeks. The full details about that festival, including the titles that will be shown, as well as the guests and sponsors, that will be before the end of this month. Well, that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, thank you to our guest, Joel Church Cooper from Brockmeyer, for being with us. Again, the series premieres Wednesday night, 10 p.m. across the coast on IFC. That's Eastern Pacific Time. www.ifc.com is the place to go online to get more details. We don't know yet who our guests will be for this Friday, our next episode, but we'll let you know during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on that this episode, or go to episodes you missed, including our big three that happened last week, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, anytime you like, 24/7, check out the podcast version. Binge if you like. That's over at iTunes.com and on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. And again, one more time, if you don't have Apple TV, you can go online and order it or go to an Apple store near you. We love hearing from you. We'd love to know what you thought about today's program. We're always on the – we always can take criticism, good, bad, whatever. And we also want to hear what you think about the world of television, where it's at and where it's going. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, that's how you get involved in our Classic Show Request of the Week, often for prizes. And that's also how you get involved in a regular feature we do called The Show to Know. Is there a TV series you like that doesn't get enough attention no matter where it's playing? Broadcast, cable, multicast, syndicated, on a streaming service like Netflix or Hulu that you can get at a smart TV set of smart TV device. Wherever it is, we want to hear from you. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. Once again, that email address, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also communicate by following me on Facebook and finding me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate, no matter, it's always appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. Simple as that. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Antico's Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Soderberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. To find out how, with a 30-day free trial, go to audibletrial.com/televise. That's audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum here in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday and your week. We'll be back on Friday, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. Again, thanks for joining us. Be safe and be great out there no matter where you are. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.